afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you guys are having a great Friday out there. We're going to have some fun with the show today, take some calls. We'll get into some baseball talk. We're talking baseball.
Yeah.
We'll talk rafters as well. I got some fun stats and weird stories of the show. story of the show is what we'll get into that.
Story of the show.
Yeah.
As long as it's weird, I'm on board.
That's our wheelhouse. That really is. It's weird, we cover it.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Phone lines are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Looking forward to talking, hanging out with all of you guys out there. Don't keep those sports takes inside. They spoil, they go bad, you know.
Start to smell bad. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need that. You don't need that in your life. Get it out of your system. Call up and join the conversation. You just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Appreciate you downloading the app, everybody. Got some baseball I want to talk with you, Seth. Certainly, if I have any opportunity, any wiggle room to talk about the NFL draft, I will take it and not apologize to a soul. We will get into all of that, but I actually want to start with some basketball.
All right, let's do it.
And we're a little bit late on this one, but the Lakers traveled to Dallas to take on the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the biggest headline of this going into it was the biggest, most awkward, weird trade any of us have seen, maybe in our lifetimes, outside of the Herschel Walker trade,
That's what my brain went to immediately.
I will say, when I think of bad deals in the NFL, that's pretty low on the list right now for me.
Mm.
It actually is. It's still in the top five, but I cannot stop the Deshaun Watson move.
Oy.
Will always like it, that one is going to be so bad for so long,
yeah,
that every Minnesota fan should be thanking that ownership.
Finally.
Yes. But obviously the trade of Dallas trading to Luka Doncic to the Lakers,
right?
With some time to breathe about this one, I was curious to see how emotions would be, how Luka would be.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking, actually, Michael and I were talking about this, and it loosely came up about Luka and a lot of the things that I've read about him over his career, about how he's a prodigy. And and oftentimes, prodigies don't take no very well.
Right.
And that's come up a lot with him because he can be a bit of a whiner to the refs.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This is one of the most remarkable athletes I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he does some of the stuff he does with that body. I feel like I could also be talking about the Joker as well,
right?
With Jokic, but
yep.
Either one of these guys, the gigantic, difference, of course, being their character, the way they are on the court. I don't know much about Luka Doncic as a person,
no,
and
not at all.
One of the things I enjoy about basketball is not only the lack of mask or helmet or hat or anything like that, so you get the full experience of the facial aggression,
sure.
Emotions and everything. But it's the way that no matter how big the stadium, the fans are right on top of you. They're right there.
Yep.
And there's no hiding from them. There's no getting around it. You're going to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And when LeBron goes back to Cleveland or Shaq goes back to insert name, because he played a lot of places, it's always interesting to me. It's storylines. I like to see how these guys perform.
Right.
I'm always curious of how the talent performs under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we see this game play out. Now, for those that were not paying attention, the Dallas Mavericks, in a weird way, doubled down, but not because they put out all these shirts on every seat of Luka and in his Slovenian language,
right?
Of thank you, and it says thank you in Slovenian, I believe. And just to talk about above and beyond moves. Like, you would think that Luka had retired or they had cut him and he went to another team or something, or it's like a Clay Thompson situation or something. So they're clearly hearing the fans and trying to appease the fans more than Luka, I think, with this.
Sure.
And then they show the video of it. And this video looked like Spielberg and Scorsese went in on directing it together. It's incredible. It's beautiful. And it's got a lot of personal moments in there that weren't available to all fans. So it's really low-key, director's cut footage and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Luka's getting emotional. He's crying on the sideline while this is happening. They have not even introduced players yet.
Wow.
All of this for a regular season game. And it doesn't happen very often, and
no.
It was kind of cool. And it was kind of cool to see how much it meant to him, and that he did not want to leave Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
This was not what this young man wanted to do. And you could definitely tell. I don't think the Dallas Mavericks organization realizes this by all of these actions of theirs. It didn't look classy. It looked like, oh, we messed up.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, we messed up. We are so sorry. Is there any way we could, hey, David Stern, come on. It's such a bad trade. This is going to be like, wow, the Chris Paul thing where, yep, it's such a bad trade that David Stern nixed it.
Yeah, we'll come
can
in there.
Silver,
yep,
please. Even 2 weeks later, 3 months later, whatever it is.
Yeah.
All this, and then Luka plays. And he played lights out. Played, mm-hmm, lights out. Played his tail off.
Yep.
But the fans, I've never seen this before. Where, and this is part of why I watched, not only watched the first two quarters, where he had like 31 points or something like that. The fans were cheering when he would score and also cheering when Dallas would score. So it was almost like this like constant cheering going on.
So bizarre.
It was wonderful. It was awesome. I want more of this. I am tired of booze. I'm tired of yelling and crying and whining in sports. I'm so tired of whining in general, especially in politics, but that's another day.
Yeah.
I am tired of the whining in sports. I'm tired of kind of what I'm talking about with Luka and the second that I hit the ground, I'm looking at the ref. I'm not even looking at my teammate to pull me up. I'm looking at the ref. Mm-hmm. It's no different than in sports, where whether they're talking about Mahomes or Allen or any of these guys, where they can't get a fly lands on them, and they're trying to ask the referee, well, there's got to be a penalty there, right? So I love this. I love the positivity of it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was unique. And I don't think we'll ever see anything like it again. I don't know. Because when's the next time you're going to see a 25-year-old talent like this get traded?
For what? Right.
Yeah. Right. It was just a cool moment. I just wanted to bring attention to it.
It's unprecedented.
Like, not that it needed me to bring attention to it.
But no, it's an interesting idea. So I remember back in the day, and I'm talking baseball here, where you would have a player that was traded. I mean, they didn't sign as a free agent. They were traded to another team. They'd come back and they'd get booed.
Yeah.
Even though it had nothing to do with it. They were traded by the team. And they were, boo, get it, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. Well, people have finally figured out. It's like, no, we should be happy for what they did while they were here. And now we get a lot more of that. So they come back, you know, and there's cheers, you know. They get to stand outside the batter's box for a second and soak all the cheers in and then just go about to their business. But this is crazy. I have no idea. What is going on at the Mavericks front office right now? Oh, what are they doing? That is just a mess.
I feel really bad for the fans of. I haven't spent a lot of time, but I've spent some time in the Dallas, Houston areas. And you talk about great fan bases, mm-hmm, you know, whether it was the Astros or the Rockets or the Texans at the time. And then the Texans had just gotten the team when I got over there.
Yeah.
Great fan base, great people as far as that goes and supporting their teams and everything. And not only with this trade, not only did that, but if they don't see it coming, you know, somebody make sure that they hear this down there. That team's moving. They're doing this to move that team.
It's what it sounds like.
It's classic what you do if you want to move a business. If you want your business to end. Hey, I want to make my money overseas. It's cheaper. So I'm going to kill my product here, mm-hmm, so that I can build it up over there. Businesses have done this for decades and centuries. And this is what they're doing. They're tanking this team. Like not just the wins losses. Like the portfolio of this team and the worth of this team in order to move it. Where does that sound familiar, Oakland fans?
John, I was going to say, they're pulling a John Fisher is exactly what they're doing. They're not investing. That's the whole reason they traded him. They did not want to pay him he would be worth top salary, of course, because he's one of the best players in the game. So you got to play him. They were just not willing to do that.
I find it not only classless and bad business. Because it's not a good business model. Mm-hmm. It's not a proven business model.
Right.
It may have worked back in the days of we're gonna take the Baltimore Colts in the middle of the night
right, you know, to Indianapolis, right?
Back then it might have worked. It wouldn't have worked even in the 90s, mm-hmm, let alone now.
Right.
So I don't know. I hope they had a good moment there, Dallas fans, because I don't know how much longer you're gonna have professional basketball.
The Dallas fans have, I mean, they've had something to cheer about with, you know, the Rangers, because they technically, you know, they're in Arlington, which is right next to Dallas,
true,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
They won the World Series a couple years ago. But man, if you take the Mavericks out of Dallas, that is like ripping the soul out of the city. They all love the Cowboys. I get that. But it's kind of a love-hate relationship because of Jerry Jones.
Yep.
And he drives them all, Cowboy fans, crazy. He drives them crazy. They still love the team, but because of that. This, the Mavericks, because they've won, you know, a title, and they've won a couple of things, and they're so close to that team, man. That would be just a disaster. I can't even imagine. I feel bad, and I don't really like Dallas as a sports city, just personally.
Yeah.
I would feel bad because of that, even though they have my stars.
Yeah, right.
But that wasn't their fault. That wasn't the city of Dallas'
fault. But you're right, though. No, that's true.
I would still feel bad for them.
I'm curious how that develops, how that plays out. The few Dallas people that I know that are friends of both like teams and all the teams you just mentioned there and everything, and granted, we're talking like maybe four or five people.
Right.
It is such a separation for them with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And the difference of that. And there's almost this. If I bring up NFL football, they immediately want to talk like Texas, like university. Like, they don't want to talk Cowboys. They don't want to.
Man,
they won't talk Texas. They haven't gone that route because of the rival. Well, just Texas. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, right.
But they will talk college. They will talk college with you, or maybe their respective team, you know, Baylor or whatever it might be.
Well, it's because Jerry Jones never cared about the fans in Dallas.
Yeah.
He cared about everyone wanting to love the Cowboys, except maybe the people in Dallas.
Seth, one of the things that I brought up with Michael the other day was superstition in sports.
Ooh, love it.
It's one of my favorite topics, and I always like to hit it early in the baseball season so we can look out for it. I am not old man yells at cloud about maybe anything. I mean, there's got to be some stuff I am because I am 48. But I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
You know.
Well, I got one at least. I got one.
All right.
Where is the superstitious sports athlete, modern athlete? Where is the superstitious modern athlete, Seth? Oh. Where is our Mitch Williams?
Oh, man.
Where is our guy?
Was there Turk Wendell?
Yeah. Thank you. that couldn't touch the diamond unless his his shoelaces were a certain color or something
exactly.
like that. These kids nowadays... with their rationality, and I can look up anything on the internet, so I can find out the truth of anything in a second.
Wait a minute. You mean I just have to work at my craft, and I don't have to worry about superstition?
For shame. For shame, younger generation. You're missing out.
Being too serious with your work. Jeez.
I love the idea. Somebody actually, you know what? He's right. He's right. He's... article that I came across, one of the articles I came across, and I encourage anybody to look into this one. It's fun. Baseball has, I would say over the years of doing this topic, easily the most amount of superstitious athletes.
It really
seems
that way, yeah.
But not the only ones. And one that I don't think we've brought up before is Bjarne Borg. Who, of course, a legend in the tennis game.
Right. One of the all-time greats. Yep.
Don't remember seeing him play, but have watched plenty of highlights of him to get the idea of why did everybody talk about Bjarne? Oh, okay, that's why.
Yes.
You know, and
he's
then
amazing.
You see him. Yeah. He's built for this. Just a Swedish machine. Unlike other athletes, Bjarne Borg had superstitious that related to one specific event, Wimbledon.
Oh.
Known as the Iceman for his steady confidence on the court, Borg would always prepare for the annual tournament by growing a beard and wearing the same Fila shirt. These quirks helped him in an amazing five straight Wimbledon titles. Win five straight Wimbledon titles. Just a reminder.
Just
of
throw that in there.
Done
yeah.
That. And surprisingly, Stockholm's native Lucky Beard has become one of the sport's most popular superstitions.
The Lucky Beard, really?
Certainly something that we see in hockey all the time. But it's made its way to football and almost every other sport.
Baseball's done it too. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's where it started. But I don't know if there's any other superstitions or anything else we bring up in this conversation that actually got it going and is still relevant. Because that's the closest I could come to as far as modern athletes and superstition. nobody cares about wearing the number 13 anymore.
No,
not
at all.
Or any of these other kind of ones that used to be around forever in sports.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part of me that going through this and doing this research and everything became a little sad. I went into it all excited, like, I love this topic. This is funny because, for the audience that hasn't heard me ramble about it before, my mother is the most intelligent person I've ever met. She's a literal genius. Her SATs will tell you that. At the same time, she's superstitious. And this has boggled my mind since birth. how you can be such a rational-minded person and still be superstitious.
Right.
And I love seeing it in athletes. I think it's interesting. I'm not superstitious myself in any way, but I find it an interesting topic. I was a little let down. I could not find a modern athlete that was very superstitious.
Yeah, I know. It's not nearly, or maybe they're just trying to keep it a secret.
Mm.
Maybe they don't want people to talk about it. They saw what happened, you know, like Turk Wendell and all the other guys that were superstitious.
Do you? I think the Wade Boggs story is one of the more famous ones.
Oh, my
ones.
Gosh. Yeah.
The Chicken Man. Wade Boggs had to have a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken before every game.
Actually, that's been exaggerated a little bit. He actually,
quite a bit.
I heard him in an interview say that he had a 14-day menu that rotated of chicken dishes.
Huh.
When he was playing.
Whoa.
So he had it all worked out, so you didn't have to eat the same thing over and over. It always had to be chicken. But he was like, you know, I might as well put some, you know, variety yeah, into
sure,
it, right?
Sure. So, but you may have not known about these other ones. He always took batting practice at 5:17 and ran sprints at 7:17. And drawing the word chai, which for those who don't know is life in Hebrew, in the dirt before coming up to bat.
Okay.
Got 12-time All-Star. 12-time All-Star.
He also, and this is another question they asked him in an interview. They said, you keep your bat separate from everyone else's. Why is that? Because they can pick up bad habits. That's what he said.
Oh, my God. Is that a great line? Oh, is that a great line? Baseball players have the best lines.
Oh, they have
going back
some
to Yogi. They have the best.
Man, Wade Boggs was, and the fact that he was so good. I mean, and he was a wizard with the bat, man. Back in the 80s. He could do anything he wanted with a bat, and that's just insane to me.
I was a big Boggs fan, but I also love athletes like that we don't seem to have anymore.
No, he had
Wade
a personality.
He walked into this room, and it wasn't like he was a freak of nature size-wise or anything like that.
He was a normal guy.
But somehow, he was a freak of nature on the
yep,
field.
Yep.
Really quick, I liked him, but I don't know. There's something about not only some of the stuff that with the Red Sox and how he would stand up for players long before they won a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was really cool of him and everything. But then he did an Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode.
Oh, really?
That I was blown away that they got him to be in on it. He was great. He was fantastic. That man's always got my vote.
Oh, yes.
So there's some fun ones out there.
Yeah.
We're going to keep this topic going, everybody. We're not done. We'll keep this
plenty
one going.
Plenty of superstitious players out there.
Throughout the baseball season, and I want some our Cub reporters out there to do some reporting on this one. Are there any superstitious players out there that I might have missed?
Yeah, there might be. We just haven't heard about it.
I didn't want you to miss this story, Seth, in case you might. So I had been saving it. And this is from February.
Oh, wow. Okay.
About Brian Buxton.
Oh, okay.
Byron Buxton. Good health begins at home for Buxton. Him talking about going into the 25 season, wanting to stay healthy, wanting to have his healthiest season yet.
Which has been a problem for him, yes.
Yeah, and some of the regimens and some of the things he's done there and everything to do that. This story came out, of course, before, he got hit by a pitch, and he's okay from that and everything. But then he went home for some personal matters and some other stuff. It seems like everything's rolling right now for him, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I find him, and I would do this story if he played at any team, but I will say because you're a Twins fan and the connection there, it becomes even more interesting to me.
Right.
He's 31.
Mm-hmm.
And that snuck up on me.
I know.
I'm reading this story, and that was the thing that stood out the most to me. And I give him so much credit. His whole offseason was about staying healthy.
Yes.
I mean, we don't give these athletes a lot of credence when it comes to, you know, you got hurt doing this, you got hurt doing that and everything. This guy was working so hard in the offseason, like, I'm not going to move unless it's to work out.
Yeah, right.
Like, just wanted to keep his body healthy for his team and in the game and everything. We have to, especially in certain, there's certain benchmarks. In sports, especially in baseball for me. And a guy gets 29-30, it can mean, he's right about to hit he's hitting his prime.
His prime, right.
He is in his prime and all that. Or, this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, this is where the wheels come off or something.
Yeah.
With injuries. Yeah.
And with his history of injuries, it makes you worry. He hasn't played a full season since 2017.
Right.
That's coming from Bill Ladson here of MLB.com.
Right.
But we're used to that. We're used to talented guys that can't stay healthy or whatever.
Yep.
My city is full of it with Derrick Rose and some of these other athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But the skill and the talent that this guy has, the way he shows up in record books out of nowhere, it's all been undercovered. It's mm-hmm. all been, nobody's really talked about him. When's the last time anybody in MLB.com or anybody else outside of these articles online
right.
really take any time to look at him? And I so his legacy is not going to get the due that I think it deserves.
Right.
And it's also, again, a shame on journalism and the MLB community
right.
for not really highlighting this guy enough. And it's a little late now.
Right.
You know, he's even if he has a full season healthy, he's not necessarily in his prime.
Right.
Because we've seen that. And Buxton in his prime, what couldn't he do?
Exactly. He was the one of the great, best players in the game. When he was at his best, he was maybe the best player in the game with all the tools he had. You know, he's a platinum winning glove winning center fielder, one of the best center fielders of all time. He had power, speed. When he came up, he was the fastest person in baseball, and he still has a lot of speed. Of course, he's been slowed by injuries.
That.
I mean, they used to time, you know, from home to first, and it'd be like insane. You know, I can't even remember the numbers, but the talent was always there. And this is one of those very unfortunate stories for a man who wants so badly to do well, who wants so badly to help his team, someone who wants to play every day, and he can't. And it's just rough, man.
It's
for him. I'm really happy to see he's found a good place, because I know there've been times when he's gotten really down because he can't play.
It's one of the toughest things in sports, I got to imagine. Mm-hmm. To Seth's point about his speed and how fast they used to time him and all these things,
yep.
In the top five inside the park home runs, fastest times of all time, he's the top two.
Yes.
And it's not even close. some people might look at that 0.3 seconds. That's not even close. It's not even close.
No,
that's
not
the,
in this.
The
no.
speed from third to second or second to third or
right.
something
mm-hmm.
like that. Like that's not even, it's insane
yep.
what that guy was doing. And we didn't talk about his batting average or his fielding.
Yep.
Or any of that.
His field, I mean, again, doing things that you, I mean, on the field, that was, that's the best part, was his fielding.
One quick thing, and I have appreciated his conversations about mental health and that, but I've mm-hmm. also appreciated everything I was saying before about whining, complaining, not a peep out of him.
He has
haven't
never,
heard him complain
he's
one
been
bit.
Frustrated, but he's been frustrated because he can't play.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's never whined about it. You're right. He's never done that.
And maybe that's part of the reason why he's getting the Skittles cleats. That was the last thing I wanted to show you for him. It turns out he's a gigantic Skittles guy like Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, cool! Yeah,
and Skittles heard about this and mm-hmm. made him his own pair of you know, just custom cleats.
Oh, nice! Oh, those are great.
My only complaint is, why aren't they in Twins colors? They should be in Twins
yeah.
colors.
Yeah, but gotta sell
cool.
the Skittles. But
oh,
yeah,
you're right. Yeah, I suppose so. But.
Actually, I think they're enough. The Twins have a blue uniform that might work with that. So maybe we'll
right.
see that. Maybe we'll see.
What am I saying? Everybody's got every colored jersey now.
Yeah, they do.
Everybody
yeah,
does.
Come on.
Everybody does.
The City Connect and all that other stuff. Yeah,
yeah. All right, so a couple of quick stats of the show when we get back in stories of the show, really. This is something we were talking about the other day, Seth. Every sports mm-hmm. show has a stat of the show. I don't, you know, we will keep those coming and everything, but I want to do a story of the show.
All right.
And we've got that coming up for you here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Family Natural Foods and Quality Plus Printing on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Thanks for hanging out with us. Seth and James here with you. Phone lines are wide open. Hit us in the numbers. 715-424-2600. Would like everybody to know, on Monday's Playmakers, we're going to be talking a little bit about some programming, adapting that we're going to be doing around here.
That's a good word for it, yeah.
I'm using any word but change. Any word but that. We're going to be having
rearrangement.
We'll get into it on the morning show,
yeah.
and we'll touch on it on Playmakers a little later in the day. We'll be doing that on Monday's show. Be sure to catch the morning show from eight to nine.
Yep.
Eight to ten. I got a lot of times going through my head.
You
right
do,
now,
you do.
Seth and Melissa and I will get into that. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and do our favorite thing on this show. Take one of your calls. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey.
I was curious if you were going to call up today, and I'm really curious because you always got a great stat for us or something like that, man. I'm curious if one of us is going to steal each other's story or stat today.
Oh, okay.
So you go first. You go. If you got something.
Okay. Well, you know, on Wednesday I said something about people hitting home runs in the same game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, none other than Wednesday, a fellow named Joe Adele hit two home runs in the same game.
That's crazy. I saw that. I thought of you right away, yeah.
So I'm predicting this weekend someone in the major leagues is going to hit for the cycle.
Ooh. Nice.
That is a prediction.
I don't know who, or I don't know where, but I think that's my prediction for this weekend. So let's see it, boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love to see it now. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
And I want more of this. Yes. Every week I want one of these.
Okay, you guys remember the show Cheap Seats, right, with the Sklar brothers?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, I like that show.
They had a segment that was called Did You Know?
Forgot about it.
I got a couple Did You Knows here for you, boys.
Perfect.
Did you know that Shoeless Joe Jackson was sued by the Chicago American League Baseball Club in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1924?
I remember hearing a little bit about this, but no.
I missed that one.
I don't think I know the full story.
Okay, well, I don't have the story. I'm sorry.
Right. No, that's fine. Oh, geez, I'll look it up.
Thanks.
He could have told me every word of it. He could have given me the court reportings, and I'm still going to look it up. Googler. Yeah, Googler.
Yeah. Okay, and Babe Ruth's called shot was in the fifth inning in 1932, but it was at Wrigley Field.
It was.
Not a lot of people know that.
I didn't. Yes. I don't think I knew that.
They're playing the Cubs in the World Series that year. Yeah. Cubs were in the World Series in 1932.
I don't think I knew that it was in the fifth inning either. That's just as interesting. That might even be more interesting to me.
Yes.
I assumed it was the end of the game. I always assumed it was the first at bat. Sorry.
Oh, right. He'd already hit a home run in that game, actually. That was his second homer.
I think Ty Cobb hit one after him in that game. I'm not sure.
Lou Gehrig did. Yes. Lou Gehrig hit one after him. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Ty Cobb, not a big home run hitter.
And he never played for the Yankees. So.
one of the few.
Yeah. I got a fun Josh Gibson quote because I know you guys like to talk about Josh Gibson.
Ooh, yeah.
He had a quote. It's epic. It says, "When I came to the plate, I'm in scoring position."
Yes.
It's such which I thought was one of the greatest smack talk.
And he could do it too.
It's so good. Yeah, a good line. Such a good line. Side note: I had a good conversation. I've been trying to find ways to cheer up my dad and everything. I'm like, Dad, let's do the Italian sports Mount Rushmore. Who's on there? We're going through these names, and Babe Ruth came up, of course, and everything. And we're about 10 minutes into this conversation. And my father brings up Rocky Balboa. And the conversation went a different direction after that. Let's just put it that way. Like, Dad, you can't know. He doesn't. Jimmy, what do you care? Are you kidding me? Like, look about what that movie did for boxing. What it did for. No, Dad. No. You can't have fake people. No. We're trying to get legitimacy here. We're trying to get representation. And no, Father. No.
What do you mean, Jimmy?
Hey, do you know who my favorite Italian-American baseball player is? Roy Campanella.
Oh, good one. And a sneaky one there.
Yep, because his mother, I believe, was Italian. His father was African-American. His mother was Italian.
That's a great one.
I mean, no, it's the other way around.
No, I couldn't remember, so I wasn't
going to correct. Because his dad's name was Campanella, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's a sneaky good one right there, man.
It's a trick question.
I don't know who my favorite one is, but I can tell you my favorite one to say, Noma! Noma! Noma Garcia Parra.
Yes.
Not even Italian. Not even Italian. But nope. God, do people Italians love to say his name. We love talking.
I thought you were going to say Fumagalli.
Oh, Fumagalli, football players. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Troy Fumagalli. Absolutely. Good to talk to you, man. You have a great weekend.
Yep. You as well, boys. Have a good one.
See ya.
I run into Matt at Rafter games and everything. We'll be talking a little Rafters a little bit later, everybody. But getting into our story of the show, and Matt and I actually didn't cross over on this one. So I got two of them for everybody.
Okay.
And both are wild to me. Emron Boyd became the first minor league player in at least 20 years to steal 6 bases in a game without getting a hit.
Ooh, that's a good one.
He was pulled off the feet from High A Beloit, Wisconsin, against Cedar Rapids. So this one also has a local tie there, too.
Yeah.
But that is a wild thing to me. And they said, first time in 20 years, I didn't think it had ever been done in the first place.
A few times. So he must have been walked a few times, hit hit maybe once or twice, maybe hit into an error, because that's not a hit either. So, but he got on base. That was the important thing.
Such a wild thing in sports. One of the more wilder statistics in sports is this happening.
Right.
Or when you see a guy who has runs, has no hits, but runs. Mm-hmm. I love that about baseball. Yeah. I think it's a funny thing. This is even more crazy, though.
Okay.
Imagine a baseball game ending after one pitch.
Oh, hello.
This just happened the other day to Liberty. It ended up being Liberty had to forfeit their Conference USA game because of a rare rule that has a team that has to forfeit if they use an ineligible player.
Oh, no.
So the manager's got to get the roster to the umpires,
right?
I think 24 hours before the game. I used to think it would, I don't know, this varies maybe for different conferences, different leagues.
Probably, yeah.
But I'd always heard like 5-10 minutes before the game, hey, here you go, and they're rushing it up there.
That would be the lineup card, but yes.
But that's what I'm thinking of.
The rosters, they need to know where all the players are at.
Thank you, though. That's a big difference, though. Yep. Yeah, I appreciate that. This was wild to me. So they get the roster to this guy. Their starting pitcher was an ineligible player. So he throws the first pitch.
And the game's over.
Game's over. Liberty loses. Just wild. Just because of this rule. Just because if you're a baseball manager, and it's one thing to be in charge of grown men, but grown men actually might understand it a little bit better.
Yeah.
You're in charge of kids, and you're trying to get their respect. Like, I don't know much about the Liberty manager, head coach or organization or anything like that, but I don't know how you go back to that locker room, that dugout. Mm-hmm. That happens to me, and I'm up there talking to the refs. What's going on? Why are you ending the game? Well, actually, you used an ineligible player. I'm not even going back to the dugout. I'm going to my car. I'm going to LinkedIn.
Got my cleats still on?
I'm in the car looking on LinkedIn and Career Builder for other jobs and maybe even another career choice. Maybe trying pottery.
Maybe I should try something else.
What, man? How do you do that? That was a crazy one to me. That was my story of the week. Story of the show.
Oh, here's a fun little fact about baseball, and I don't know if this is still the thing. Do you know what the official score is when you forfeit a baseball game?
No.
9-0.
That was in the article here.
Oh, was it?
I just breezed past it. Oh, that's why it was It ended 9-0. I didn't understand that. I was going to look into it later.
That's the official score when a game is forfeited. Yes.
There's the story of the show.
There you go. Now you know something.
That's really interesting.
Well, so few games get forfeited these days. It's not, most people probably wouldn't know that. So.
I wonder, I'll look that one up too, when the last MLB game was forfeited.
Forfeited, yes. That'd be an interesting one.
Speaking of Major League Baseball, which we're putting our focus on today, but we will take the focus any way you want, 424-2600, touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Call up. You direct the show, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at baseball standings right now, I'm seeing that the Yankees are in first in the East. Guardians in the Central. Houston out in the West. This might as well be 2024.
The last 4 years.
Or whatever. And everything. That was last year. This is the Tigers are in first in the Central.
Yep.
Rangers are in first in the West. And then over in the National League, the Mets are in first in the East. Cubs in the Central. Brewers right behind. West, the Padres. Giants, and then Dodgers.
The Dodgers, after their hot start, have kind of cooled off a little bit.
Interesting to see, for one, that baseball is still alive and well, because all I had heard is the sky was falling because the Dodgers signed everybody, and this was going to be the end of baseball.
And then they won their first 8 games, and then everyone was dying because of that. But look at what happened. No.
But I also...
Baseball's a long season, man.
Seth, I'm not seeing torpedo bats on the standings here. So where we're used to ESPN and the Mouse Network and all these things over-covering stuff... this one was new to me, and it stood out to me for a number of reasons, and I couldn't put my finger on why. And I do want to actually give the Mouse Network credit as well,
because
they helped me find this. There was an interesting article at ESPN.com about the history torpedo bats in the history of experimentation and revolutions with the modern bat.
Yes.
And one of the things that I came across was a story that my papa talked about when I was a kid about Wee Willie and the Wood Wars and the Wild West of bat experimentation.
Ooh.
And, obviously early in the, during the late 1800s, early 1890s, there were no regulations. There were few and far between. Is it made of wood? Go ahead.
Is it sort of stick-like,
Yes.
Right.
Well, to that point, some hitters used flat-faced bats that was supposed to help with bunting, but looked more suitable for, hammering nails.
Right.
Or a cricket or something like that.
It looks like a cricket. they call those bats? I don't remember.
Anyway, yeah, it's a good point. But they also were a ton heavier.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sometimes the style of the knob varied. Mm-hmm. That was different. But long story short, and I do encourage people to read the article and everything. Mm-hmm. It's interesting if you find that stuff interesting. Long story short, again, you know, much to do about nothing.
Yeah.
The torpedo bat has not ruined baseball. It is not that big of a story.
No.
And it's not the first time we've done this.
There's always something in the past that's happened before. Yeah.
I don't do a lot of fantasy sports talk or anything like that, but I have mentioned before that, you know, I'm in a league that, you know, Seth and I are both in. And yeah. One of the things that I thought was interesting that, it's a story when fantasy sports catch on to it. And I only say that you can laugh at that you want out there, anybody that isn't into it.
Sure.
It's the biggest, most growing thing industry in almost all of industry.
It's huge.
Fantasy sports was gigantic, and then they legalized all gambling.
Yes. Now it's even bigger. Yeah.
It's just gigantic. It's, if you don't realize it, take one little Googler search and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Or watch the Brewers on the FanDuel Network.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
So when it comes to when fantasy sports do something about it, it is noteworthy and it's interesting to me. On your, if you have a player like I have L.A. De La Cruz.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he uses a torpedo bat, and I know that, and I can't say it, because there's a little tornado. Tornado by him.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little tornado by. I couldn't figure out what this was. I took a picture and had to zoom in to figure out what it was.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's how crazy this phenomenon, this storyline has gotten. It's really been much. It hasn't really accomplished that much and done a lot of things. Now, I will say I'm double checking right now because I have Jackson Churio and Christian Yelich and Bryce Terang on my team. Mm-hmm. And not a single one of those gentlemen use a one of those bats.
Right.
And I think that's noteworthy, one, because the Brewers have been hitting the ball so well.
Like crazy, yeah.
And in fact, the other day, my phone was going crazy at 9:34 at night. Terang hits a 460er. At 9:40, Yelich hits a 427. And then Wilson Contreras, who I also have, hit a 390. Yep. I did not plan on having that many Brewers, by the way, everybody.
It just happened that way.
I didn't even realize I did it when I did it. Christian Yelich hit a 479-foot home run on Wednesday. No tornado, no torpedo, no nothing involved in
this. It did help that he was in Colorado. That was the one thing that did help on that one.
But we know about that.
Yeah, yeah. If you hit a ball far in Colorado, that's what happens.
Interesting. Just another one of these interesting storylines to me when we're talking about baseball.
Bats have been changed. You know, they used to all be made out of ash, you know, back for many, many years. And then they became maple because, you know, there's more spring and maple
talking about that, right?
And all this stuff. Yeah. Bats have gone through the ringer. The firing thing they had to but anyway.
and a quick note about this to wrap it up and everything. This isn't the last time we'll talk about bats changing.
No,
I mean they're gonna, you know, whether it's a month from now or 2 years from now, the next thing, the missile bat.
I'm waiting for the clown hammer bat.
I want somebody
walk out with a clown hammer. That'd be great.
I don't know where you'd buy.
I don't think that's legal.
One of those little big toy bats. Just a big wiffle bat. Just go up there. I'm just trying, man. I'm in a huge slump.
Yeah.
Right. Trying something.
Trying anything.
We can't talk baseball and not talk Wisconsin Rapids Rafters.
Oh, yeah.
We are so close to the season. May 26th, opening day. Looking forward to it right around the corner, everybody. And if you haven't seen the promotional schedule from the Rafters, I encourage you to check that out. Got some really cool events coming up.
Fun stuff this year, yeah.
A lot of great ones. A lot of great ideas, too.
Yeah.
One of the fun things when you get some new people in that front office, they got ideas that they've been itching to do. And, mm-hmm. and just you bring in new minds, new... it's nothing against previous regimes. It's just a fresh take on things.
Absolutely.
Fresh eyes.
Yep.
So they got some fun stuff lined up for you, including, of course, the United Way's United We Can event, which I'm looking forward to very much.
It's always a highlight of the year.
Along with other plenty of other great things and the things that you have come to know and love about the Rafters, like their Military Mondays that they do with Ho-Chunk Gaming. Shout out to both organizations for that. And you can get packages right now for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you are going to have a bar mitzvah, there is no better. No. There's no event. Any event you're going, you can have them over there.
Exactly. Who doesn't want to spend outside in the sun, man?
Right now, they're doing a great giveaway where you can get a game used Rafters jersey. Just sign up for their tech service to enter.
That's pretty cool.
They do
wash it, by the way.
Yeah, they do. Yes, that's really cool of them, by the way.
Yes.
That's a very nice move. classy. We're excited about the season, and in part because I think the Rafters, like the River Kings, and I give a credit to both of these teams with their front offices and their their public relations and teams, and by that I mean a person usually at this level and everything.
It's usually one person, that handles that.
I give them a lot of respect because we get such an update on the off the field, off season stuff that's going on, and the signings that are happening, and everything I've seen from the Rafters all off season long has been nothing but an exciting team that they're putting together here.
Yeah,
we're looking forward to meet your Rafters back and all that stuff. We got a really fun season of Rafter baseball right around the corner, everybody. Yep. As we will have every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter baseball right here at WFHR, home of Rafters, and right where it belongs.
Exactly.
Got a good feeling about this season.
Mm-hmm.
Take that for whatever you want, because it's me.
Well,
but
I
do feel good about it. I'll say that. We'll take a timeout, our final one of the week, but that's all right. We can make it to the end of the game without our timeouts. When does that ever come back to hurt a coach? We'll be fine.
It's not like people have lost their jobs over it or anything, you know.
More playmakers coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Seth and James taking you through the last 10 minutes of Playmakers for the week. That's all right. We'll be back next week with more show. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to hanging out with you. And a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring this hour. Mm-hmm. Head on over to either of those businesses for any needs you might have at those places. Buy local, support local, everybody. Support those that support this community our friends over there.
Indeed.
So, Seth, and I was going to talk NFL draft, I'll be honest with everybody, but you brought up something that I did mean to talk about, but I forgot to pull up on my computer here. The firing of Mike Malone by the Denver Nuggets. Yeah. And the wildness of this is
and
you know,
the timing and everything about it's wild, yeah.
Now, it's happened before in history, but it's so rare. I don't know that it's happened to a winning coach. Now, to hockey fans out there, you're like, what are you talking about? This is a Wednesday for us. I wish I could remember the Buffalo Sabres coach. I always use him as the example because the Sabres had a coach that I don't remember if he went to the Stanley Cup or what it was. I know they had an amazing season and they fired him like a day later. Yes. And I believe he was like native or something along those lines. And there wasn't certainly even today. There's not a lot of those coaches out there. So I remember this story very much. And that's nothing new in sports, but in this scenario, it's so wild and it's so different because as I was talking to Seth, you see these things on paper and where we started today with the Luka trade, and you see that on paper and you're like, well, Luka wanted out. And then all of a sudden you read the article and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Luka loved it there. He wanted to play his whole career there. He wanted to move there after retirement.
Oh, my gosh.
To Dallas. By the way, saddest part of all of this whole thing the other day with him playing in L.A., he's in Dallas and he's talking to the announcers and they're asking him, hey, how are you feeling? He's like, well, it's great. I get to sleep in my own bed tonight.
Oh, gosh.
Like, oh, man.
That's so sad.
Oh. And then if that didn't throw your NBA mind, crazy or anything, the Denver Nuggets fire, Mike Malone. Now
Memphis, and their GM too, I think, right?
Yes,
they fired both of them,
which they didn't even do in the same press conference in the same press release, which makes all of us think that they didn't plan on firing the GM and then they just did, or something. Now Memphis had fired their coach a little while ago too, who was pretty good, but not Mike Malone good. Not I've won an NBA championship good.
Right.
With this core group.
The same guys, basically. Yeah.
Now that you see on paper, you're like, well, Nikola Jokic, the best player in the whole world, wanted him gone, so that's why that happened. No, they never even told the players they were doing this. In fact, most of the players found out when they were getting interviewed about it.
Shocked. They must have been shocked. I mean, really. Woo.
So what we have going on in sports, and we're going to get more and more of these stories, is something where the push and pull of... You have these games being played by players. Yeah, it's a job for some of them. Yeah, they're getting a paycheck. Yeah,
sure.
They're doing this because at the young age of whatever, they found this sport and a spark went off and on a journey that led them to this point 10, 15, 20 years later, whatever it is.
Right.
You're never going to be able to get that person to be like, hey, I need you to hold back a little bit. Hey, I need you to pull the fight.
No.
Hey, I need you to we're tanking. But... there's plenty of front offices that look at this as numbers, and they're like, well, we don't have a team that can win. We might as well be bad, because the only thing worse than being bad is mediocrity.
Yeah.
You got to be bad. You're better off being bad than mediocre. And there's almost no sports franchise or sport where it's different. Please call up and correct me if I'm wrong, because I genuinely do want to hear that. I would love to hear an argument for the other side of that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that there's ever a case where there is one. You've got this push and pull, and it's only going to happen more and more, and it's only going to get to become a bigger divide in sports.
Yes.
Because front offices are going to be quicker and quicker to pull the trigger.
Yep.
When we were kids, as an NFL coach or a coach in general, you had 3 to 4 years. Everybody understood that.
Yeah.
No matter what happened, no matter how much you hated Forrest Gregg or any of these coaches or anything like that, you know, well, he's here for a couple of years.
Absolutely.
In this day and age, I don't know if I'm a coach. There's no way. I don't care if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm renting. Mm-hmm. I don't care who I am, I'm renting. There's no way I'm owning. So that the divide with this is only going to happen more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it to be one of the more fascinating storylines in all of sports, of where this goes and where it develops and where you might get players, you know, having protests against their own teams.
Mm.
Because that's the first thing I thought of if I was in those shoes.
Right.
And I worked my whole life to get to this point. And you're telling me as a front office, you're going to fire my coach when we're getting ready for the playoffs?
Yeah.
There's no spin you can put on that that does not tell me you don't believe in us.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I supposed to go out there and risk injuries that could end my career and millions of dollars and all this stuff and everything? And it's a job. It's a job. I get that better than most. I understand it. But at the same time, you're talking about a different business model.
Yes.
The business model that we in the front office are doing, and then there's a business model for you players.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work in business. There's no tech industry out there that has two different business models. Nike doesn't have two different business models.
Right, like, trying to go at the same time. It wouldn't work in anything, right.
Talking out of both sides of the mouth here,
mm-hmm.
and they get away with it. And it's just another one of these stories, and maybe I'm getting really burnt out of millionaires getting away with stuff, and it's bleeding into sports for me.
Well, there's a lot of millionaires in sports.
But it is something that I cannot take my eyes off of in sports, and I cannot wait to see where this goes.
I wonder, you know, and this is turning to the thing that I know one of the things that almost all the sports leagues don't like is tanking. They have rules against it. They have incentives not to do it, right? Lottery picks and all these things. It does not seem to be working. Teams are still doing it in every sport. I don't care what sport you're talking about. It's happening in all of them. So what do you do about that? I mean, do you have to do like maximum death penalty thing? You know, if we catch you doing this, you are next year, you're done for the year. You don't play at all. You know, is that the kind of thing they have to do for these kind of, you know, to get them to not do it? Personally, I don't know if I don't have any like strong feelings one way or the other about tanking. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're a fan of a team that's doing it, which really stinks. But, you know, I guess, I don't know. Sometimes it works out because then you get a whole bunch of great draft picks, right? So, I don't know.
There's some people, some fans that are okay with it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Some that aren't. But I know that there's no player that is. And that's the thing that I find the biggest push and pull in and how that's going to go.
Right.
With the fan bases and everything, we just got done talking about Dallas and some of these things.
Sure, yeah.
But with the players and organizations and ownership and everything, that is where it gets very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And how managers and coaches are stuck in the middle of that.
Right.
Just a couple of really quick things before we get out of here for the week. This Tuesday, 4:35 on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, softball, Auburndale versus Assumption. Mike and Seth going to have that one for you.
Yes, indeed.
Looking forward to bringing that to you, everybody.
Yep.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to a long spring, summer of high school baseball and
can't
softball.
Can't wait to bring it to you,
Rafter baseball and everything. And just one last baseball story, and it involves L.A. De La Cruz, and this one you can also find at MLB.com. The incredible 23-year-old talent. Who is so much fun to watch play, has been doing something a little bit in the shadows here that they brought a little light to, where he has taken it upon himself to learn English.
Mm.
And he will not do interviews in Spanish at all. He will not allow himself. He doesn't want an interpreter or anything. And he has had a teacher helping him with this, a literal Caitlin Beltre, the Reds education coordinator, who has known De La Cruz since he was a teenager in the Dominican Republic.
Wow.
And stood just 5'6".
What? He was 5'6" at one point?
Thank you, Seth. Thank you. God.
What happened to him?
Our brains, man. I'm reading this article, and man, this is really cool. He's doing all this, and I keep going back to, he was 5'6" at one point?
Oh, my gosh. That doesn't seem right.
It's a great article. Encourage people to check it out if you get a chance. And a big tip of the baseball cap to him.
Yes, yes.
I don't think that he has to do this or anything, but I think it's cool of him, and I do think that it's something that we don't get to these good stories a lot. We don't hear about these things. And he's doing really good with it, by the way.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm sure he'll be able to pick it up actually pretty quick. I have a fun update here that we've become, I don't know, one of my pet things, I guess. The Women's Pro Baseball League has announced their player registration for the 2025 summer tryouts. They are now open, everyone, and that's open until May 7th. They're going to have tryouts in July and August of this year. Their first season will be next year. So they're starting to get their players together, and I think I saw something like they've got at least expecting up to 200 participants will be invited to the draft in October. So for all those lady baseball players out there, and they're all around the world, this is your chance to play some pro ball in the United States.
Thanks for bringing attention to that. Yeah. Keep up on that story. I want to keep following that, see where that goes. I'm really excited about the idea of a league like that and everything. She is way too busy. I don't think she would have any interest. But let's just say in some parallel universe, Melissa tries out. What position? What position do you put Mel? Because I got her at shortstop.
Really?
I got her at shortstop? Oh, yeah. She's got some range on her, okay. And she's such an attention to detail person. I feel like, oh, you got to put her there. And, I've seen her at shortstop.
I can say this because I know she's not listening. Pitch her, because she's a control freak.
That's too good. We love you, Mel. Love you. Looking forward to hanging out with you on Monday. Real quick, I did want to throw this one out there, too. And I want to shout out Alan Goldshear, who does some really nice reporting around football. And he's covered, done some, focused on number teams and everything. And I think he's even broke some stories before, or at least brought some additions to broken stories. But I'm just thanking him for selfish reasons, because he is an NFL analyst, and he urged the Chicago Bears to take a pass on Ashton Jeanty. And if I know anything about the Bears, they'll do the opposite of this. So as a person who the Chicago Bears could trade Caleb Williams, but if they drafted Ashton Jeanty, you're not gonna, the first thing you're going to hear out of my mouth that Monday is that is
really
the,
is,
I oh. love this kid.
Yeah.
I'm not serious, but I do love this kid. I've watched him. I think three seasons at Boise State, and I think he's just such a pure, wonderful running back.
He's a great talent. Absolutely,
he's going to end up on some team, not Chicago, because I'm not that lucky, and neither is Chicago.
He'll end up on the Raiders.
Probably where a lot of people are projecting him. Him and Bowers. Oh man, they're building some stuff over there now too.
And Pete Carroll, you know,
that could be a really fun offense. Yeah, you know, putting those things together, pairing those two up, and everything. But we will talk a little more NFL draft next week.
Football thing.
Yeah, I got it in the last 30 seconds. I got it in. Yeah, that's a win for me.
Oh brother,
thank you all week long, everybody, for hanging out with us. All your calls. A big thank you to our guests and of course our co-hosts. We can't do this show without all of you, and of course our sponsors, Family Natural Foods, Quality Post Printing, Family Natural Foods, all of the above. We appreciate you so much.
Yes.
We'll be back next week with more show, everybody. Have a good weekend. Be good to each other.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.